right. R. Paul, you want to go ahead and the National Finance Committee will be called to order, and I'll ask R. Paul to call the roll for us, please.
Okay. Grace Aaron.
Here.
Brian Edwards Tiekert. Zakai Free. Sherry Gendelman.
Present.
Lonnie Hicks.
Here.
Campbell Johnson.
Here.
Alberto Luera.
Present.
Mike Martin.
Here.
R. Paul Martin here. Summer Reese. Ross.
Pardon? Hey. Did you call?
I called Summer Reese and Jamie Ross.
Jamie Ross is here.
Okay.
Hey, Jamie.
I'm going to try to get Brian Edwards Tiekert. I'll be right back.
We have eight.
Is he on the news show right now?
The news isn't on right now. It's on in 20 minutes.
Oh, okay.
But he may be preparing, so let me call the newsroom and I'll get right
sure.
back to you guys.
Go ahead.
Okay. Well, let me just start off by telling Wait. Jamie how sorry and offer condolences on behalf of everybody to the kind of week you've had, which is nothing that any of us could compare to. And it's tough, and I lost my mom a couple of years ago, and I can truly empathize with everything, and God bless you, and we're all with you.
Oh, well, thank you for that, Mike. It means a lot to me. I really appreciate your thoughts.
Well, it's hard for everybody on the committee.
Hard to get used to.
Well, hang in there. We are in session over the loan and loan application. Give you a little history. This is the second remark I wanted to make. I thought what we had passed out of National Finance Committee was something completely different from what it was, which is just as much my mistake as it was anybody. And Grace Aaron fortunately caught the mistake, but not after I bit her head off over it. And I again wanted to apologize to Grace for that, and I'm truly sorry about that. And she did catch the mistake, and that is that at least I don't recall a discussion at NFC where we talked about just a 10-year note with a balloon at the end. And maybe we did and I missed it, but it does state on the loan application that its maturity date is in 2018. And with that, I think that created a number of questions and concerns. And I believe that PNB referred the matter back to us for further consideration. So that's our single item for tonight. If there's no objection, I'd like to approve that as the single item for the agenda tonight. Is there any objection to that? Okay, hearing none, then that is, we'll lay out the loan.
Mr. Chair?
Yeah.
Lonnie here?
Yeah, Lonnie?
Yeah, you know, I don't know if it's appropriate, but we may at some point have to look at contingency plans, and I don't know if it's at this meeting or a future one around budget.
Well, you know, I think that's certainly an absolutely fair question, Lonnie, and I hope you're working on that. I think that what our charge here is to try to do a review of the loan issue before the PNB meets again, and if the PNB decides against the loan, then obviously that's going to be the next step, and we'll need to be prepared to meet on that. But it's the holidays, and I didn't want this to be a protracted meeting if we could avoid it.
Thank you, Mike.
Yes. Did somebody want to be on the stack? I just missed that.
Sherry.
Yeah. Sherry, yes, Sherry.
Addressing the contingency plans, I am. That is on the agenda of the general manager's planning, little group, to address that as well. Not that anybody's going to have a great answer to it, but that is on their agenda as well. And they do have their much longer meeting that addresses a lot of these issues first week in January.
Well, it would seem logical that they would need to be involved in the discussion since they're going to have to create the plan.
Right.
Well, let's move to the loan. Grace?
Yeah, I think we should put a second agenda item of contingency plans. We might not be able to get to it, but I think it's important.
Okay.
Well, my thought was to schedule it, you know, not necessarily at this meeting, but have it be on, you know, our next meeting or whenever we, you know, think it might be a good date to look at it.
Okay. Okay. Well, we can throw it on the agenda. If the committee has something that wants to talk about with regard to that, we obviously won't complete the discussion, but we can throw it on the agenda.
Mike?
Yeah.
I had a preliminary, I guess it's a preliminary point to raise a question on. The December 4th correspondence has addressed to Lonnie Hicks and signed by Nathan DeSa. Did that come in on letterhead?
Yes.
Is this the loan approval letter you're referring
yeah,
to?
Yeah, the letter indicating
okay.
that the loan
can we just
approved.
Get there? Campbell, before we get that's a good question to start with. Before we get to that, could we just any objection to the agenda being the loan application and contingency plan discussion? Any objection to that? Okay, hearing none, that's our agenda. Now to the loan application. Campbell, we'll start off with your question.
Yeah, I'm just a tad concerned that this attachment didn't come with a, you know, with the letterhead on it, and, you know, as to the, you know, it being an official statement from CDFI, I think that, you know, that would have been rather, you know, just what they would normally do.
Which one is Campbell referring to? I'm sorry.
December 4th letter to Lonnie Hicks, signed by Nathan DeSa.
D'Souza.
Bonnie, you want to respond to that?
The one dated December 4th is what we got from them.
Okay. And did it come with was it on letterhead?
No, that's what we received.
I think that Lonnie, you know, you may want to suggest in the future that, you know, when they're sending something official like this, that's a commitment that it comes on letterheads, especially when the person identifies themselves as a junior commercial underwriter.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, that's a good point, and I'm sure they'll comply.
Yeah. Okay, thank you. Go ahead.
Okay. To kind of focus the discussion, I guess, the issue that is currently what we're considering is the aspect that this note is a balloon note and that it has a pretty substantial balance at the end of a 10-year period. Lonnie, you want to explain exactly what that is for everybody?
Well, you know, as you all know, I think we've got about 10 or 11 CFO updates that have gone out, and we've had extensive email exchanges over this. But for the benefit of those folks who are not privy to those emails that have gone on in the last month or so, the terms of the loan are that it's a 10-year loan for $1 million. But it's amortized over 30 years, and what that means is we pay as though it were a 30-year loan. But at the end of 10 years, there may or may not be a balloon, depending on how much we choose to pay. And if we pay somewhere between $10,000 and $12,000, there would be a small but very small balloon. If we choose to pay small amounts, like $7,000, there would be a balloon at the end of 10 years. I sent out the amortization schedules from the bank, which shows how much at the end of 10 years would be still outstanding on the loan, depending on the amount that we choose to pay, somewhere between $7,000 and $12,000, $7,000 and $15,000, really. And that amortization schedule spells it out for us. It also says, so if we pay the minimum, like paying the minimum on your credit card, yes, it would be a balloon and a substantial one. But
yeah,
if we don't pay it,
if you could, Lonnie, because we're on stream and there could be 1,000 people listening to us for all I know. Probably not, but I know there's some people interested in this, especially on Los Angeles. Could you just briefly say...
I bet you $1 million that there aren't.
Okay, I won't take that bet. But could you, when you're talking about amortization, just summarize, I mean, if it's the minimum payment, what's the balloon at the end and how it changes, just if you could.
Well, the amortization schedule went out, but here's the way it works.
When did you send it out?
I sent it out a couple of weeks ago. I can send it again. I'm reading from it right now.
Okay.
I sent it out a couple of weeks ago along with the materials that people requested.
Yeah, that's fine, and you can bounce it back out if you could. But, and I'm not asking you for the whole amortization schedule, but, like, if we do the minimum payment, what's the balloon, and if we...
All right, if we pay $20,000 a month, we will end 5 years. That's a five-year payment schedule. $20,000 a month, we have a balloon of $2,752. You know, a really small dollar. If we pay $15,000 a month, at the end of 7 years, the so-called balloon would be $37,221. I'll repeat that if we pay $20,000 a month, we finish the loan more or less in 5 years, and we would have, at the end of that period, $2,752. $2,752. If we pay $15,000 a month, that would take 7 years, and it would leave a remaining balance of $37,221. That's at $15,000 a month. If we take 10 years and we pay only $10,000 a month, the balloon, that is the outstanding payment at the end of 10 years, would be $332,000. This is their amortization schedule, so that's what we requested. That's what I got from them. So if we pay just a minimum of $10,000, we'd end up with a remaining balance, let's call it that, of $332,000. Balloon sounds like all of that to do at the end of the period. Well, here are the options that in that sort of scenario of 10 years and $10,000 a month. What we would end up having to do, the options are pay it all off if we had the money or saved it over the period at that point. The other option is to refinance the remaining part of that loan, which would be the $332,000. But, of course, the terms would have to be negotiated. I hear noise and it's hard to get through. We would end up having a refinance. Well, again, someone breathing? Well, anyway.
Sorry, I hope everybody is breathing.
I think everybody's breathing. The question is, does anybody breathe heavily into the phone?
It is that. Anyway, so the point is that we could refinance. We could pay it off at $332,000. And they would be, this would involve renegotiating the loan. The terms would likely change and whatnot. So those are the options. $20,000 a month, pay it off in 5 years. $15,000 a month, pay it off in 7 years. But if we paid sort of a minimum over 10 years, we'd end up with $332,000. That amortization schedule was sent out a couple of weeks ago. I still have it. I can send it again if people really want to see it. What I think we should do, obviously, is try for something like $15,000 and pay it off in 7 years.
Go ahead.
Pardon me?
Let you finish.
Yeah, let me finish it. Is that affordable becomes the question. I'll just give my opinion right up front here. Well, we pay, you know, Democracy Now, I don't know, something like $50,000 a month. We pay Free Speech Radio News $34,000 a month. $15,000 a month is $180,000 on the year. So, question. Could we raise the $180,000 over the
somebody has to really bring out his phone.
Yeah, I can't even hear him half the time because there's some really noise over his voice.
Somebody's standing outside or something. If they could put their phone on
like
mute,
wind.
Please.
Just pound mute.
It's still going on. Pay attention, whoever. Somebody's either breathing heavily into the phone or... There's some big gale force going on out there. Okay, sounds like some people tried mute there. Okay, Lonnie.
Okay, so 20 a month, 15 a month, 10 a month. Obviously, the best one for us is do 20 or 15. My recommendation is 15. I think we probably could do it if we focused on it. It costs, that would be about $180,000 a year. I think it's within the realm of affordability. We could do 12 a month. There is no prepayment penalty. That is to say, if we they have a prepayment penalty, but they're willing to negotiate with us around it. And one person said, let's try to get it waived. Another person says, no, let's have it at 3 years. Let them pay it for 3 years. But they don't put a limit on how much we can pay. They just don't want to change the amortization schedules around it. And they are correct in telling us that's to our advantage, not to have some sort of agreed-upon payment schedule. We want to have that flexibility. So I think that we could probably raise the money, $180,000 a year, and pay $12,000 to $15,000 a month. with very small dollars left at the end of that period. Is it negotiable? Folks said, well, why don't we try to renegotiate this and get a 30-year loan? The bank never had given a 30-year loan, never promised us a 30-year loan, and they said they had told Nicole and other people that they were talking to that that was the case. So that's why we got a letter with 30 years on it. I never had any other impression but that, and I was not involved in identifying this bank, negotiating the terms, or negotiating any part of what the terms would be on this loan. I was not at Pacific. I was on leave, and I got back. My task was to get the paperwork that they were requiring, and it turned out to be quite a bit. And you see that paperwork in terms of what I've sent along to the board. Is this loan affordable? Should we do it? Isn't this putting bad money after good money? How can we contemplate a loan under current circumstances? I want to go on record, just so there's no confusion about what I think. What I think is the loan is not a great idea. Who wants to borrow money? Nobody. Who can even borrow money? We're lucky to have a bank even considering loaning us money with our cash flow and our history. This is a stroke of luck, and it took a lot of convincing for these folks to take our paperwork, look over our situation, and come out and actually visit us. Sherry was there, and then go back and fight for us with their loan committee. They risked their jobs pushing for this loan. That loan committee was not going to give us a loan. Mm-hmm. Most banks won't. Mm-hmm. And that loan committee was not going to do it. These three people that came out to look at us, liked us, went back to their loan committee and put their jobs on the line supporting us because they believed in our mission. They were impressed with what we had done. We had been around 60 years, but our financials looked very, very weak. And so, as bankers, it's not a good loan from their point of view. But in terms of their mission, remember, they're a different kind of bank. They are a community reinvestment bank. That is, their mission is to invest with risky organizations in minority and underserved communities. And that's their mission. Their mission is similar to ours, serving minority communities. So we were mission central, that is to say, we fit their mission. But even we were a little bit on the risky side for some people on their loan committee. So what to do? Well, if we don't get the loan, or remember, this is not a for sure thing. They may turn us down. The barriers that we have to reach is we have to give them the three items that they've requested. Remember, they've approved the loan, but they're not going to fund it without four conditions being met. The four conditions are that the building has to appraise out. They have an appraisal that was done. We won't know for a week or so what the results of that appraisal. So that building has to appraise out at least at $2 million. The comps are all over. You know, every building in that area sold for $1 to $63 million, a comparable square footage. So probably it will appraise out at close. If it doesn't appraise out, then they may reduce the amount of loan they give us. Mm-hmm. The second condition is that they want a litigation abatement plan. They were concerned about our litigation costs. It was one of the number one things on their list. They said, why do you guys have so much legal costs? It was a major obstacle. Somebody is still rattling papers. It's a major obstacle to their considering our loan. They want a litigation abatement program where we will reduce our litigation, and they are probably willing to accept trainings right away on sexual harassment. They specifically mentioned sexual harassment as the kind of training they'd like to see. That would be condition number two. Condition number three is they want board to approve of programming or program changes or audience development, whatever we want to call it, that will have the effect of increasing revenue. Any bank wants to see new revenues come through because that's where they can see their margin of safety, which is how you pay the loan back. They call it margin of safety. They like to see two or three. That is to say, they like to see revenue come through the door that looks like it can reach close to $12,000 or $15,000 a month, $180,000 a year. They saw that in our planning process. As you remember, I gave them 3 years worth of financials showing that $1 million, especially since it'll free up $400,000. On paper, we looked pretty good for repayment. And they want to see the plans, however, around new programs. So you've got those three conditions as part of what they like to see. The fourth one, but it's escaping me right now since my head is...
Well, I've got clearinghouse, CDFI,
hold on, Campbell,
staff...
Campbell, we need to do a stack. And
hold on, I'd like to hear what the fourth condition is.
I was
going
to read it to you.
Okay.
Okay, hold on. I didn't realize that's what you were doing. Sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah, there are really five. The fourth one is satisfactory appraisal with loan-to-value no more than 50%. And then the fifth one is clearinghouse CDFI staff to conduct satisfactory site visit and examination of operations. And so
yeah,
the fifth one's already been done.
Yeah, it's done. And we did pass. We
and
passed that.
They want the quarterly audited quarterly financials.
That audited is a misstatement on their part.
That's a misstatement. I was going to ask about that.
Yeah, no, nobody does quarterly audits in the nonprofit.
Because, I mean, that would have been, and that's impossible.
Yeah, it's impossible. So I talk with them specifically about that. They're dropping that.
Okay.
Because I said,
well,
we need
confirmation of that.
We need, yeah, everything has to be in writing.
We'll get written confirmation of everything we can agree to, but they want their materials.
Sure,
so
yeah.
They'll draw it up for us as soon as we deliver on our part of the agreement.
Okay. And that's the how we're going to do the other $300,000, right?
Yes. They want to see how you spend the money, that it will result in new revenue or some new revenue.
Right.
So that's just common sense. That's what
a business plan.
That's a business plan, exactly. We're lucky they didn't ask for a full-blown business plan. It was only because they liked Sherry and liked me, and like Lim Lim and like KPFA, that they dropped a lot of some of their more strenuous requirements. And we have a long history of being around for 60 years.
Okay.
But that does not mean they're not a bank. They are a bank, and they've got trustees, and they've got loan committees they have to answer to.
Can I get on the stack?
Let me,
you already worked, Campbell, so keep on going.
Okay.
Can I just finish a couple more things?
Sure.
Go ahead, Lonnie. Why don't you finish up before we do a stack?
I just want to be clear about what our options are in this circumstance and what the pros and cons are. That if we get the loan, you see the conditions. They've already been mentioned. If we do not get the funds, I want to be clear about what I see, at least, are some of our problems that they're going to, some of the problems we're going to have. Let's say the bank turns us down. Or let's say that the board votes against the loan. What do we do? Here is the timetable and the circumstance that I see. And I put all this in email, so most of you folks already know this. We would be in immediate crisis. We were double crisis situation. We would have to immediately have some kind of quick plan to reduce our expenses further. And that would go from anything from more staff reductions to other expenses. We would have to have a contingency plan and get one soon. We would be in a situation where we couldn't afford to pay our bills. That is, at the end of January, as I've sent out, we'll have a negative cash flow of close to $200,000. And looking at a February situation where we'll need an additional $200,000 and won't have it, because there won't be any revenue coming in. That's just the national office. You can imagine what may be the situation at stations. So we will be confronted by the end of January with a severe cash flow deficit of at least a couple hundred thousand. We will not have paid certain bills in January, because if you have a negative cash flow projection, for January 31st of $191,000 or $200,000, that means you right away, right now, stop paying bills because you have to get that $191 down to zero. And that means postponing or not paying bills and dealing with vendors. That's going to mean democracy now. It's going to mean free speech radio news. It's going to mean a number of vendors won't get paid. So that's what is foreseeable. More cost reductions, likely, I hate to say it, staff, and also more bill, the backlog and bills are paid. If you don't pay bills in month A, they stack up in month B. The third major sort of outcome that I see is, then I'll talk about what we could do positive, then I'll be quiet. But I just want to be sure that I've spelled out all the options, because folks sometimes say, well, I'm not complete. Well, I want to be complete. The third option is to borrow money from the station. That is to say, assess the station for some of the costs, because the costs are essential costs, insurance, health insurance, Democracy Now. That is, if the money isn't there, if the money didn't come from that loan, we would likely have to go to the stations and ask the stations to pay some of the essential bills. That is an obvious sort of thing to try to look at. Whether the stations have the money or not is another issue, but that would be an obvious step to take, especially if there's no money coming in the month of January, which there is usually, and money in February doesn't come in until late February. We would likely have a payroll issue at WBAI. Payroll issue at WBAI.
Mm-hmm.
They did a drive, but the drive only was like $330,000 at the time you do the 20% markdown. They're going to end up with, you know, $260,000, but they spend $240,000 a month. It will not last through the month of January, that they had to pay bills here in December, so much of that money was already pre-spent on previous bills they hadn't paid. So they will have a payroll issue into January, certainly by the February. So payroll issues, cost issues, staffing issues, and then the whole issue of just unpaid bills will be with us, and I'm talking, you know, 35 days. So that's what happens. We don't get the law. The last thing that I have been working on is talking to another bank. Remember, our bank, Wells Fargo, turned us down. That's how we ended up with this bank, CBFI. Talking to Bank of America, they smiled and no, we're not a great risk. What I would do though with them and Wells is, at January 31st, I would ask them to give what amounts to a 33-week overdrawn.
Don't look again in the bag, directly around the.
Someone's talking in the background. They probably don't hear me because they're talking, but whoever it is, they need to put their phone on mute.
Put the thumb over the microphone on your phone, at least.
Yeah, okay. The last ditch effort, that's the option that I see. Other folks may come up with others. You know, maybe people want to do, you know, on-air drives or something in the next 30 days. But that was greeted with a good deal of trepidation. But the other thing is you can sort of ask for bank overdraft for a limited period, 2 or 3 weeks, at the end of January. I have no reason to believe that banks would do it, but that's the only thing I can think of that we could try. There may be other ideas. Maybe I'll come up with something between now and then. But right now, at the top of my head, those what I see is our options, the pros and cons. Okay?
All right. I think Campbell was on the stack.
Jamie?
Sherry.
And Sherry. Okay. Campbell?
First thing, I think that in terms of the talking about an overdraft with, you know, with our existing bank, that's something I don't know, I would feel not as negative about, because I think that they would want to continue the relationship. And, you know, they realize that things are tough, and, you know, they've, I'm sure, been talking with Paulson and gotten in his pocket already. A thing that I was going to suggest would be useful in terms of the litigation issue would be to have that we could request employees and board members to sign a mediation agreement. That mediation will precede any litigation about any disputes that would arise. I think we can get an attorney to put that together without it, you know, being an onerous kind of thing, but that would certainly mitigate a lot of the litigation expenses that we have going forward. That doesn't help current cases, but it'll mitigate our situation in regards to other circumstances. Okay, I think that when you're mentioning the situation pertaining to, you know, if we don't go forward with the loan, if we don't get the loan, or if the board votes against it, one thing that we can do, and oftentimes organizations don't do this, or maybe you have already, but we can sit down with CPB and sit down with, you know, Amy Goodman and our other major creditors and, you know, talk with them about the situation and pay them part, you know, some piece of it. Like, even if it's just 20% at this time, that's one thing we should keep in mind, that most creditors are just concerned that you are recognizing the indebtedness and that you are taking steps to address it.
Having trouble hearing you. The breathing is breaking you up, Cameron.
Okay, I'm sorry. What I was saying is that in regards to CPB, Democracy Now, and other major creditors, what we can do is to sit down with them and tell them, explain our situation, and that we will not be able to pay them the full amount because of cash flow challenges right in through here, that they should understand. And that, you know, we will end up paying, like, say, 20% of what is due. I don't think that we should, you know, go with not paying anybody anything because we can't pay the whole thing. I think that we can, you know, go with paying, say, 20%. And, you know, the folks recognize that, you know, we are acting in a mature fashion. We aren't, the ship isn't sinking. We're just, you know, having to address financial challenges. And I think that that would be something helpful as well. But I don't want us to lose sight of this point on litigation, that we will be, you know, asking employees and board members to sign a mitigation agreement. And, you know, this is something, you know, due to extraordinary circumstances that, you know, we need to do, you know, in going forward.
Okay, Jamie.
This is Grace. Can I be on the stack?
Can I respond to that one item? Just one item?
Yeah, but some of the items that Campbell's bringing up are sitting on the agenda. They're rather controversial, especially the litigation one. So I want to be careful not to, I mean, I want to keep, we have to get to that issue, but we're not, I mean, you know, we're talking about the loan tonight.
Yeah, but that's part of what we can submit to them. They want to know what
it is,
kind
Campbell,
of strategies we have for litigation.
It is, but and it's been running on the NFC agenda for a considerable period of time, but that is a discussion that's going to require, and I know because of the reaction I got from the proposal I put on the agenda that it's very controversial and there are lots of ideas on it, and so I don't want to try to skin all of the cats tonight, but I think it's a very valid point, and I completely agree with you. You know, we've got to address it, and we will at the next full NFC meeting.
Okay, I was just thinking that in terms of giving, you know, the bank something that it would be good for them to know that we are
true. But the question before us is not whether we satisfy the bank conditions. The question before us is what recommendation we make to the PNB regarding whether or not we actually move forward with the loan. I think that's what the PNB has charged us with. So that's the discussion. If we in fact decide to do the loan, then we're going to have to tackle all those other issues.
But point of information, sir?
Yes.
Point of information?
Yes, Albert.
As Mr. Hicks mentioned in his report to us, the bank has indicated, as it relates to that particular issue that the minimum requirement, or, well, I'm putting it in those terms, that at least if we had some kind of sexual harassment training for everybody,
okay,
that might satisfy the need.
Campbell did, and let me restate the point. The question before the NFC tonight is whether we recommend to the PNB to move forward with the loan. If we're moving forward with the loan, then all of these other issues have to be answered. But if we are not moving forward with the loan, they don't necessarily all have to be answered because we're not going to have a loan application to debate.
I think
the question is whether we can afford the loan. That's really the issue before us. If we decide that we can and the PNB then decides to move forward with the loan, then all these issues become more relevant.
That's why I made a point of information and not a statement.
Okay. So the next person on the stack is Jamie.
Hi. Okay, thanks. Can you hear me?
Loud and clear.
Okay, thank you. Let's see, I have several comments to make. I might not get to them all. Let's see, first comment regarding amortization. My understanding is that 30-year amortization on a $1 million loan at 7.5% interest requires a monthly payment of about $7,000. And that would leave us with $850,000 or so at the end of 10 years. A second point, it was raised, BAI's recent fund drive. BAI did have a recent fund drive of 13 days. Our business manager reported that the pledge total was $285,000. The goal was, in the budget we passed, was $332,000. So this is the first drive we've actually had to compare against the budgeted goal. And now on to the loan. Let's see. My comments on the loan. Okay, well, it's kind of a large topic, so I'll take a large point of view. In my point of is my perception is that Pacifica is in a decline, and it's been going on for a few years. We're in a non-sustainable situation, and if we continue our current course of action, we'll wind up having to sell assets or do very serious things because we're not going to have any more money. What this loan seems to do to me, we've made the decision, well, the first asset we're going to sell is KPFK's building. It seems to me that without a change in our operating procedure, I don't see how we can avoid going into default on this loan. So the question is that the right thing to do? Should we sacrifice that building to save the other assets? Is that the wisest move? I'm not sure that it is. I really haven't heard that discussion. A second point is that, a related point, I can't vote for this loan without some indication that we have indeed changed our mode of operation and we're going to end our non-sustainable era. We really need some dramatic changes in Pacifica Foundation. There's several ideas of what they could do. There's probably various ways that we could go that would be successful that could help us deal with this, that would have the effect of improving our financial picture. But I haven't seen any of that happening yet, so all I can, from where I sit, it looks like, we're not going to have enough money to either pay some of our monthly vendors or we're not going to have enough money to pay the bills for this loan. So I can't vote for the loan without some sign that things have changed. A third related issue, which is where I will stop, well, actually, I won't stop quite yet, we really do owe it to the foundation to really seriously talk this out, issue of, we have two stations, and one station in particular that have been more responsible than the others for our financial problems. My station, WBAI, would be that station. I would like to see that WBAI has stopped running a structural deficit. If WBAI is continuing to run a structural deficit, I don't see how we can continue to make payments on the loan and continue to pay our vendors. But, you know, I've asked several times for up-to-date income statements, and, you know, they haven't materialized yet. So, actually, it's very difficult for us to have to make a rational decision about has BAI become less of a problem for the foundation, or is it still as much of a, is it still the same drain that it has been for the past couple of years? My suspicion is that it still is, despite the cuts that we've made, but, you know, we can't know for sure without better information. So it's very difficult to make this decision with the current level of information that we have. You know, I remind people that the income statement that we did get, which I thank Lonnie for, doesn't have real numbers for WBAI, as I understand it. And as far as contingency plans, I mean, I believe that we have to get serious and, you know, and come up with some plans or some way to put the foundation on a more sustainable footing. And that has to be done, you know, we have to deal with that. We can't keep putting that off. I believe that cutting staff is probably what's going to have to happen, though it's not a good thing. I don't see what else can be done. And I also believe that we have to get serious about coming up with a plan to deal with WBAI if WBAI continues to be, you know, the biggest problem in our, you know, in our network's five-station financial picture. I don't believe that the network can continue to allow BAI to be drained. This has happened for the past 3 or 4 years, and now we're in the position that we're in. We really can't support that anymore. So we have to get the best information we can, and we have to get serious and make some real decisions. To take the loan without doing those kind of things to me is merely a recipe for losing this building, and we're all going to have the same problems in 6 months or whenever, you know, the loan monies are used up, and we're going to have to, you know, figure out what the next thing to cut off is. So I really don't want us to see, I can't support going down that road. I really want us to take this opportunity to get serious and make the hard decisions that we need to make. Okay, thanks.
Sherry.
Okay. So I have to, you know, dispute the ability to pay back $15,000 a month with no problem. If we could pay it back with no problem, we wouldn't need the loan. So that sort of statement is a problem for me. I'm just going to comment on some things before I make a general statement about what I think about the loan. There may be union contracts. There are at four stations that would currently limit our ability to opt into arbitration as opposed to some other form of dispute resolution. It's certainly something to put on the agenda for any contracts that are coming up, assuming that there is a labor contract that provides for employees to either exhaust their labor administrative remedies and then proceed to court. I also don't understand exactly why the loan officer's jobs are on the line simply for recommending that the financial institution CFI lend us money. Okay. I tend to agree with Jamie that the greatest problem and the greatest drain on our resources is are just one or two stations, and that without the national board making the determination that the drain on the finances from New York has reached its limit and that, you know, if the foundation doesn't address it, it will choke the foundation or, you know, starve it to death or whatever the appropriate metaphor is. And that's not for this committee to decide. The problem with not taking the loan means that we can't pay Democracy Now. The problem with not paying Democracy Now means that our biggest moneymaker and the program that is the most positive brand or signature related to Pacifica at the moment, we stand the chance of losing that program, And that would be a devastating blow to the network. It's not even an issue of being penny-wise and pound foolish. It's being suicidal not to pay Democracy Now. Amy has, you know, she has a huge audience. She brings the name of Pacifica to 800 stations around the globe, and she raises a substantial part of our budget. So to be cavalier about not paying her is to cut off our nose despite our face or whatever strikes a chord of recognition in anybody. It's a bad idea. I think we need the loan, and I you know, there is a litigation containment narrative, and it was part of our orientation or one of our trainings that Dan Siegel had prepared, and that we are prepared to forward to the bank with some embellishments about a special focus on initiating immediate trainings. But I don't, you know, I agree with Jamie that without dealing with the New York issue and any other station that takes more than it provides, we're just fooling ourselves. I think the general managers, to some degree, particularly at the finalization of their plans, will be addressing programming changes, which will, I think, in many areas, bring in a new audience and new revenues. But when we get to their plan, which is in January, and whether or not the PMB adopts the plan and then implements it, we have to pay Democracy Now. We have to pay our federally and state mandated employment EDD charges. We have to pay insurance, health insurance. If we don't do that, we're in breach of contract. To not take the loan means that we can't pay our bills. To not pay our bills means we're in breach of contract or in violation of state and federal laws. To be in violation of state and federal laws means something very, very, very serious. And I just don't see how we can escape taking the loan, but I think that to some degree, wiser heads are going to have to demand a more substantial and realistic approach to how we're going to reconfigure this network, particularly if certain stations continue to be this profound drain on our resources. Okay.
Can I get on the spec?
Sure, but Grace is next.
Okay, thank you. I agree wholeheartedly with Jamie. We simply can't allow stations with continuing shortfalls who are not meeting their budget requirements to continue to drain the foundation. There are also problems popping up with fund drives at WPFW and to some smaller degree at KPFT. I think KPFT has their situation resolved. I think plans would be a fine idea, but there have been plans in the past, and they have not been implemented. Implementation is our real problem. We all know that programming must be improved. It's not what to do that we don't know. It's how to get it done. Now, in terms of a legal arbitration or mediation agreement, I put forward a motion that was passed by the PNB around July or August, entitled Arbitration Agreement Requirement for Employment, that Dan Siegel was supposed to have prepared. This passed the PNB. We've never received a legal opinion by Dan about how this could be done, which was what the motion asked for. So that needs to be followed up on. There are many things that were promised by the general manager of WBAI to this finance committee which have not happened, starting at least 6 months ago. So we're dealing with an implementation problem. If we don't have the will to implement correction at WBAI, then we must factor in their shortfall into the budgets of the other four stations and the other four stations are going to have to fundraise more to cover BAI's shortfall and the shortfalls of any other stations. This should include programming changes, more fundraising, and also staff cuts wherever they need to happen. Because we just can't go on with spending more than we earn. And this loan is just going to put off any implementation of any rational solution to our problems. So I'm against the loan because it's just a Band-Aid, and we'll wind up losing a building if we don't fix the underlying problems.
Okay, Campbell.
Yeah, I'm quite surprised.
On the stack.
I'm sorry, Lauren? Who on the stack?
Summer, could I be on the stack too?
Lonnie on the stack, yeah.
Lonnie and then Summer after Camp.
Okay. It. I don't know if everyone read the piece that was dated November 11th, the real estate loan application, and under the loan request, there's an indication of how much is needed to pay bills. But then also there's the $300,000 that will be used in the following way: to invest in new program acquisition, to increase listenership, $50,000 expanding our national mailing campaign, which has been productive for us, and $100,000 which would be used to bring for new audience development. Now, these things, I think, need some more flesh on the bones. But these are a plan for, how you won't just be losing. I mean, a loan, the idea of a loan in most instances, and this is a business loan, the idea of a business loan is that it helps you to have the resources in order to generate revenue. Now, we are in a situation where we're a going concern, and I think we need to keep that in mind. That's an accounting concept, a going concern. That means it's continuing to exist. And I don't want to sound professorial there, but that, I think, is something that we need to keep in mind, and that when we get the loan, we have to have the backbone and ensure that the PNB has the backbone to implement the specific plans that are identified for us being able to increase revenues so that we'll have the $10,000, $15,000, or $20,000 per month to repay the loan. Now, with regard to underperforming stations, I think I don't know specifically about the extent of follow-through that we've gotten from WBAI. I know I was impressed with, what they had to say, but insofar as the follow-through, if we have a lack of credibility or either will to undertake, the actions that are needed, then I think that's a different situation, and we have to look at the necessary changes to get the accommodation that we need there. That, I think, is a critically important piece. That structural deficit has to be addressed. But loan or no loan, we're going to have to do something about that. And, I think that what we need to do is to think of this as an opportunity to go forward, to have the resources to go forward, and not just the resources to throw at another station. And, I think that that's something that needs to be made abundantly clear to our board, that's not what the funds are for, and that what it requires is, number one, to act on, and I think that they should be given an agenda that includes the specific steps that are needed to implement these plans of action that are highlighted in that document that was provided to the CDFI. I think that
we've got some other people on the stack. So.
Yeah, just last point. Also, there should be a follow-up to the point that Grace was making in regard to the arbitration motion to, pull the chain on whoever needs to have their chain pulled. If it's an attorney working for us, then, you know, this is somebody who needs to do the work, or we need to get somebody else.
Thank you.
Okay, Lonnie, and then Summer.
Hello, Chad. I'll try to be brief. I promised that before. I think that we're in a situation where we don't want to be killed, so we're going to commit suicide. And if you take the loan, some folks are saying, well, that's bad money after good, and nothing, no problems will get settled, and we'll continue a downward slide. If we do or don't take the loan, the outcome is the same. Well, that analysis says no matter what you do, Pacifica has some severe problems, and nobody seems optimistic about solving them. We have to be optimistic about solving them. Our problem is not an analysis of problems. We all know what the problems are. What we have to do as directors and as staff is to solve the problems. And I think we have to focus on what will constitute solutions. I think Grace made the point about implementation. We have tried to implement a WBAI, and the board itself blocked it. The unions went to the board and blocked a lot of the so-called changes that were being recommended. Now, remember, we have on every board, and in this committee too, and in the PNB, 25% are union members. They don't want to see their members laid off. So Pacifica's structure itself is a factor here. Second point, WBAI, we can't reduce the problem to WBAI, although certainly WBAI is a major player. But we have problems at W. We have problems at KPMK, $300,000 in arrears. And problems at T.
What kind of problems do you have at T?
Well, T, when you miss, they've missed their drive goals, and they have to sort of look at making it up, and they have to do also, they were looking at making cuts.
Come on.
And they may have to at some point. But if, for example, we don't get the loan, Alberto, then you're talking going to the station, so you have, you know, that potential for unbudgeted expense. Now, what to do? Now, Jamie mentioned the amortization schedule and whether we can pay back the loan, and people rightly have concerns about how to do it. I'm not here to defend the loan. I'm here to come up with real solutions and ones that we have to decide. Are we able to come up with solutions, however shaky? Remember, when you are forced in this situation like we are, where we waited so long that all the good solutions are no longer possible. All we have before us are bad solutions and worse. So we have to choose, essentially among the worst, unless someone has a brilliant idea that's better. And right now, I'm out of ideas about what we can do in this circumstance. 6 months ago, we had time, and now we're out of time. Now, the last thing I'll mention that is sort of a bright spot, everything everybody said is true, absolutely. The only bright spot we really have is that we have made $1 million cut, mostly from staff, at K. A is online for cuts, and they're starting that process. WBAI has made cuts. But cuts and staff take time to play out for those savings to accumulate, and it'll take 6-7 months. And so, but they will accumulate, of course, next year. Makes it look better for that reason. So, bottom line, we still have to come away with some idea of not what not to do, but what we should do. That's where I want to get us to that point. What is going to be the decision that we recommend to the PNB?
Okay, we had Summer.
Hi, yes. I wanted to agree with what Jamie said at the very beginning. I feel like I've heard the same sort of doom the entire year I've been on this committee with the same platitudes about how it will be fixed tomorrow on the other side of the rainbow, and I have no confidence in this loan at all. I mean, I completely agree. I think we're going to jeopardize a building in favor of things that are not being run well. So I don't have a solution, but I have very little confidence that without dramatic structural change at the national office and really focusing on stopping the bleeding litigation that's been going on, that you know, we're going to take out a loan and then be in danger of losing our building and be in a rental situation the way New York is, which is obviously disastrous for them. So I don't know. I mean, I hear Lonnie, you do the, I didn't take responsibility for getting this loan. I didn't do it. It was all negotiated before I got here. And then a few minutes later, I hear, you know, but we've gotten such favorable conditions because of you and Sherry. I feel like I've heard 15 different stories in the last 4 months over this loan. So I just, you know, I'm from this Signal area, but I'm also just, from a real estate perspective, I just cannot see jeopardizing buildings that you own free and clear in favor of stations that are bleeding and hemorrhaging. I would think it would be far better to, you know, go on the air and let our, you know, listeners know that we're in danger of going bankrupt and hold extra fundraisers to, you know, while we continue making those cuts that are necessary to bring ourselves in line with what we're making and improving the actual programming so that we're bringing in more listeners, you know, because there's no reason to think that we're going to take out this loan and then miraculously we're going to figure out how to improve programming. I mean, we were talking about improving programming when I first joined this committee a year ago. I was hearing, you know, and it's like I just don't see how taking out a loan is going to improve programming any more than it did when we needed the money 6 months ago. So I'd like to hear some concrete change of reality besides, you know, if we take out this money, then we will have the ability to improve programming and bring in more listeners. It just sounds to me like we're massaging things in order to get money from the bank without actually addressing underlying issues except for the staff cuts, which is the only concrete thing that's been done. So I have personally zero confidence in this. I'm going to vote against the loan. I just think it's a bad idea. And if we're able to improve our programming, we should be able to figure that out with or without the loan, just like we should have been able to figure it out 6 months ago.